Well, good Thursday morning, everyone. This is not Casey Miller. This is Claire Hall, substitute host this week on Lincoln County Connections. It's our first program for the month of March, and very pleased to welcome to the studios return guests for our program, Keith Barnes, Lincoln County Veteran Services Officer. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Claire.
And also our Veteran Services Coordinator, Caroline Kay. How are you doing, Caroline?
I'm good. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Can you guys hear me? Can my vets hear me? This is yelling for me, but I know that military-grade tinnitus probably sounds normal.
Yeah, yeah. Sounding good there. Well, I mentioned that this is our first program of March. March, among other things, is Women's History Month. So we want to kind of put the focus this morning on women veterans. And I'll just ask you, you know, kind of what's the big picture on women's veterans and the challenges and opportunities to serve them?
I think a lot of the challenges remains with, you know, we're just such a small group, and a lot of just invisibility happens when it comes to being a woman veteran and seeking benefits. You know, a lot of women I've talked to, women veterans, don't even consider themselves veterans because we're still stuck with the mentality of, oh, I have to be in combat, or I have to do this, or I have to do that, and, you know, putting this limitations against ourselves. But, you know, definitely that's why I'm here to, what's it called? Show more attention to that.
Yeah, so the theory being that a woman veteran might be relate better to, open up more to another woman veteran?
Definitely.
Okay.
Create a safe space and more comfortable environment.
That makes a lot of sense. So, Keith, do you have any perspectives on this? I know, you know, you both served, and as a male veteran, you know, thoughts, memories, but how we can better serve women veterans seems to be the big focus.
Well, one of the things that we look at is, instead of asking, are you a veteran, we ask, did you serve? We even had somebody in our office the other day, and she was in the Marine Corps, and she goes, well, I don't know if I'm a veteran or not. Well, she served. She raised her right hand. She swore an oath. She went to basic training. She served in the military. She is a veteran. And so that puts a internal limitation on when they come into our office, whether or not they think they are deserving of a benefit. In reality, if they are lawfully entitled to this benefit, we need to make sure that we get them. And we're not just talking about compensation and disability. We're talking about education, home ownership, all sorts of things that are out there that could help women veterans. So we want to spend this month really focusing out on women veterans.
Well, that's great. You know, I recall conversations with your predecessors that often, you know, veterans, whether it be female or male, so often, you know, don't want to or don't feel like they can acknowledge their status as a veteran. And even when they're informed that they are entitled to all kinds of benefits, that often their attitude is kind of like, no, there are other people in greater need. I want to leave the resource for them. But you served your time and you earned those benefits. So
absolutely.
I imagine that's a message that you both work all the time to get across.
And we come across that quite frequently. They'll come in for one thing and we start talking about other programs. And the next thing you know, they're like, oh, I didn't realize I qualified for these. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we want to put out to women veterans, women who served, that there are a lot of programs out there that can help you. Education, vocational training, home ownership. Even, you know, if you get service-connected for a disability, tax abatement. Lots of things that can help you out there.
Great. And let's remind people where the Veterans Resource Center for Lincoln County is located and how they can get in touch with you.
Well, always make an appointment. We are doing appointment-based you can call Lori, 541-265-0570, and schedule an appointment. Here in Newport, we're running appointments Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Wednesday, we are setting up at Lincoln City. Caroline is up there, and she takes appointments up there. And then Fridays, we have a day set aside to get the work done and do some training. So we'll do walk-ins in the morning for simple questions or scheduling appointments. But the rest of the day, then we do for catching up work and making sure that we get the next week ready to go.
All right.
Caroline, you know, she's active duty. I'd love to hear about her active duty when we've got a chance.
Yeah, let's do that right after the break. We're in the Bob Spangler Studios, and we are going to take the first of our two breaks and be back in just a minute or so. We are back. I'm Claire Hall, guest host for today, and my guests in the studios are Keith Barnes, our Lincoln County Veterans Service Officer, and Caroline Kay, our Veterans Services Coordinator. And Keith, you are a veteran of the Armed Forces. Caroline, you're in a different situation that you're actually still active duty, you said. Oh, I thought you said. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
No, she's just separated in
November. Oh, just separated. So very recently active duty. And I'd be interested in just your own personal perspectives of what it's like to be a woman who serves, is serving in the military in this day and age.
It's definitely just a rewarding experience overall to and serve in general and just get that life experience and skill set that the military offers. There's definitely a different kind of, you know, guidance needed. You know, it's not just like, oh, it's going to be easy breezy because you're a girl or da 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 da. It's, you know, equally difficult, and for some even, you know, even a bit harder. Some places are kind of stuck in the past. Others are a bit more not. So it's always dependent on, you know, leadership and work environment, where you get stationed, location and everything. It's case by case. But, you know, I think through all the tough times I've had, I've always been able to make it and, you know, have a very rewarding experience overall and fulfilling career.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, I'm not sure of my history, but I think, was it World War II when women started being encouraged to serve in great numbers, when the WACs were founded in the Army, WAVES in the Navy, and the Women Marines established? But
they weren't considered military at that time.
Oh, really? They were like, what, an auxiliary?
They were like an auxiliary.
Wow.
They weren't identified. They didn't receive benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And when they left, they weren't given the status of veteran.
They weren't given a DD-214. They were exempt from it.
Wow. So how long did it take before women gained, I guess, fully equal status within the armed forces?
Well, I think we're still working.
Yep,
towards
definitely
equal
that
status in the armed forces.
I mean, I remember speaking recently with a veteran. She was in Marine Corps, speaking about her time in service, and I'm like, did you ever go here in these locations at all, trying to just gauge what I can get her for benefits? And she was like, oh, no, women were still not allowed to even be in combat positions. I was not allowed to be deployed there. I've had, you know, talks with other veterans, Navy. She was part of the first crew of women to be on the ships and on, you know, months out on trips. You know, it's still very recent, very new. And, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement, you know. But we're getting there.
Yeah, hopefully. That's good to hear. I mean, I'd like your perspective on this first, and then if Keith wants to add anything. But just reading news coverage through the years, I mean, if there's ever been an environment that has been very strongly male-dominated, I would think it's been the military. And this evolution, you know, as Keith and you have both said, is still happening, but you know, it isn't coming easy, at least in some places.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the kinds of things that you're aware of that some women have had to go through?
Definitely military sexual trauma. I mean, I can't pull the numbers like out of my back pocket,
sure,
but I can tell you from personal experience and just observation of other people's experiences, it's almost a 10 out of 10, somebody's experience, some form of military sexual trauma. And almost 5 out of 10, numbers increasing 50% for men as well. but it's always been that way since for women. It's experience at some part and point of your career. I've had people come in and, you know, tell that personal part of their story, and it's just a running theme, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some improvements, but it's almost like one step forward, two steps back when it comes to military. As I said, some parts are wising up, other parts are wanting to be stubborn about change.
Yeah. Cultural change is really, I think, at least in my life experience, about the hardest kind of change there is. But I think, you know, more and more, especially since we've been reliant on an all-volunteer military, if my memory's right, for 50 years now. I believe the draft was abolished about 1971. And, you know, it just seems like the importance of being open and welcoming to all qualified and interested candidates, and to, you know, make it more difficult for half of the population to serve and have a positive experience while serving, that just, it just doesn't seem right. And, you know, a waste of resource, a waste of talent. But as you've said, it is changing.
Right. I think one of the barriers between women veterans coming into our office is that military sexual trauma, that either they won't be believed or they don't want to have to go back through reliving that and going through the process. You know, Caroline has been great in being in our office and working on those type of cases. I know that coming in and speaking to another man about what somebody else did, and I'll admit I have a very military look to me in my office.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to come in and talk with Caroline, and she does a great job of sitting down and calming and reassuring women veterans that we're going to take a look at this and we're going to work towards providing that. And another side of that too is, if we don't get all these claims in and start forcing the VA to pay these monies, that change isn't ever going to happen. And that's my personal opinion, mm-hmm. is that, you know, we need to put these claims together so that we can force the government to say, hey, we need to stop this behavior.
Mm-hmm. The best way to make the government change is to hit them right in the wallet.
Amen. And I'm remembering from my work with the Association of Oregon County's Veterans Steering Committee that hasn't it just been within the last year or two that the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs has created a high-level coordinator position for focusing on women veterans?
Yes, Jessica Bradley is the ODVA, and she's great. She's working with Caroline, and I believe they're doing another radio program later on this month.
Oh, great.
Talking about women veterans. Actually, first thing in the office when Caroline came in, her first week, we made sure we had an appointment set with her so that Caroline gets covered.
Great. Well, it is about 9:21. We need to take one more break, so let's do that, and we'll be back with more of County Connection in a minute. Well, good morning once again, and welcome back to County Connections. I'm Claire Hall. My day job is, of course, County Commissioner, but as a side hustle, I have brought back my old radio skills, maybe a little rusty, as you just heard there. But actually, I think that was actually meant to be a soothing brief musical interlude.
Happy accident.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we're talking with Keith Barnes, Veteran Services Officer for Lincoln County, and Caroline Kay of the Veterans Service Coordinator in that same office, the Veterans Resource Center. And I know since you came on board, Keith, a few months ago, and then Caroline a little more recently, you have been very active and proactive in terms of outreach efforts and special events. So what's upcoming on your calendars?
So coming up here on April 9th, we are going to be hosting a suicide prevention and mental health destigmatization Well, I can't.
Destigmatization.
I still can't say it.
That's a mouthful. Destigmatization.
It sounds like a spelling bee word.
Yeah. We're going to be doing some barbecue. It'll be at the Toledo VFW Lodge. I have room right now for 25 veterans to come out. We're going to buy, I've bought some gun locks. We're going to have some, they have a trap range out there, so we'll shoot some trap. Mm-hmm. And I'll have some really good barbecue, and we'll talk about suicide prevention.
Yes.
Really important. And we're going to only have 25 slots this time. We're hoping to continue this on a either quarterly or even monthly basis later on. But for right now, this is our first one, getting our dipping our toes in it. Mm-hmm. And doing that. We've also started outreach up at the Lincoln City Veterans Senior Center. We'll be doing that the last Wednesday of the month in the afternoon from 1 to 4. I'll be up there to answer questions and help set up appointments. One of the things that we really want to emphasize is doing a checkup. Coming into our office, even if you have service-connected disabilities, even if you're at 100%, we want to have you come in and take a look and see if there aren't some new presumptives that you might qualify for. You might not get any more compensation, but we want to make sure that we continue putting in these claims to put the VA on notice that, hey, we still have these cancers and illnesses coming through our offices, so that we can get that. The president yesterday, or at the State of Union on Tuesday, and then with further guidance yesterday, listed 9 new presumptives for the Gulf War syndrome. Mm-hmm. That will be added, or that they're looking at adding. And so we will make sure that if you're a Gulf War veteran, that you come in and talk to us and we look at that. Myself, I just upgraded my award in disability due to the Gulf War syndromes. And I worry myself about what these new cancers are going to look like for me. So what's the old saying? An ounce of cure is worth a pound of prevention.
Or
something like that. Come in and let's talk and make sure that we get covered so we can stay healthy.
Now, first and foremost, of course, guiding your work is the principle that these men and women have earned these services, in many cases paid with significant physical and mental trauma. But secondary to that, to me, I try to share with people from time to time, is that you're also, as you're processing and winning these claims for compensation, it's a significant economic driver in this county. Tens of millions of dollars every single year in comp and pen benefits coming in. Of course, not all of that have you personally processed, but a whole lot of folks are getting benefits today that wouldn't be without your work.
Right. About $52 million a year comes into the county through compensation and pension and benefits. That includes survivor benefits. On an average year, we process between $3 million and another million, or $1 to $3 million in process. So to give you an idea, our budget's about $350,000. We bring in about $4 and $12 for every dollar we spend in our office.
Yeah, and the funding, I think it's important to remind people that it's a combination of funding through the State of Oregon General Fund and the County General Fund budget. But I want to emphasize to people again, because I find people still have this misconception. You are employees of the county. You're not working for the VA. You are there to advocate for the veterans through the whole process.
Definitely. We don't want to put anything that's going to work against you as the veteran. You know, we're, as you said, we're here for them, not the VA. So there's definitely a lot more flexibility and leeway we have when it comes to talking people, the information we have as far as like inside knowledge of the ins and outs that we can say without, you know, getting in trouble compared to somebody who works directly with VA can't tell you. You know what? I like it.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts on women veterans or just outreach and service to veterans in general in this county?
In addition to compensation and disability, we also work with outside partners for employment, homing, housing, working on that whole veteran thing. And I just want to thank everyone who's served, men or women. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I hope everybody can turn out to that barbecue. It's just really emphasizing like the misconceptions of PTSD. There's a whole lot of about it. People don't want to get that diagnosis because they think they'll get their guns away. But I just want to tell you no, and that there will be more information if you show up at that barbecue. So thank you all for your service and good. No, wait, not night. It's still morning. Yeah, good afternoon.
But that's a good way to close the program. Thank you both for being here today, and thank you for listening.